Good morning and welcome to our special Children's Day service. I hope you are blessed by the various items you will hear and see this morning involving the members of our Sunday School. We really appreciate the dedication and faithfulness of our teachers, and I'm going to ask Olivia Carson and Jackson Abraham to come to the pulpit and read a poem entitled, Thank You.
The Bible teaches us to give thanks for all things, and we would like to read this poem as a thank you to all our Sunday School teachers here today.
Thank you for the time you give to each child who looks to you. You truly make a difference by all you say and do. For as you touch a tender heart, you leave your imprint there. We will always remember you and how much you really care.
Keep on loving, keep on caring, sharing Christ as you do. For one day we'll return to say, Teacher, I do thank you. God's made a difference in my life, and I thank you today. Because you give your time to teach and show me God's way. Thank you.
Parks will come to the pulpit and testify about how she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour.
Hi, my name is Leah Parks and I'm 11 years old. I was born on the 28th of September 2006. I was born into a Christian family, so from no age I've been sent to gospel meetings and Sunday school. When I was 4, my dad was reading me a Bible story. It was the story of Moses and how the children of Israel were being bitten by snakes because of their sins. I thought to myself, what if I were one of those people? Where would I go? Heaven or hell? So I asked my dad, how could I become a Christian? And he just said, as the people look at the breast neck on the pole, if you look to Jesus by faith on the cross, you can be saved. So I did. I prayed to God that I am a sinner and that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and asked him to cleanse me from my sins and come into my heart. So from that day forward, I've been trying to serve and follow God. I enjoy going to church, Sunday school, Friday night meeting, and the junior reach. I also really enjoy holiday Bible club, sports fun week, and Tullymore camps. I just want to leave you with this verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
The whole Sunday school will now come to the front and sing, The best friend to have is Jesus. Rebecca Forbes will recite a verse of scripture, and Noah Davidson will sing a solo verse.
The Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, He is altogether lovely, this is my beloved, and this is my friend.
The best friend to have is
Abby McCrory is now going to come to the pulpit and read a passage of Scripture.
Our Bible reading today is taken from John chapter 15, reading verses 7 to 13. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen.
Our final item will be a melody of pieces including For He Is My Saviour and Precious to Me. Katie Davison and Holly Abernethy will sing a verse together.
First of all, I would like to thank the minister and the session here for having us along. It's really great to be part of your Children's Day service. And I have to say that every boy and girl and every young person, you have really done a super job this morning. Never a sign of nerves with the young people nowadays. And I don't know how you do it because I'm always nervous. I can remember whenever I was a little boy, sitting down there waiting for my turn, waiting to be called up, and I was so nervous. I had a poem to do, and it had only two verses in it, and it was about David and Goliath. And I was so nervous when I got up into the pulpit that I had David cutting the head of Goliath before he hit him in the head with a stone, because I got my words all mixed up. But he got him anyway, one way or the other. But it's lovely to see you all here. I have brought my suitcase with me. I have a lot of things that we want to go through today, and I'm looking for some really good sitting. And if you can sit up really well and fold your arms. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. If you're sitting up, your arms nicely folded, I can see if you have any nice watches on or any nice jewelry. And maybe at the door, I could maybe ask you for it. You could maybe give it to me as a prize, because usually we're all getting prizes out the back. And then I could give a nice wee bracelet to my wife and have a nice wee watch for myself. So we'll sit up really well. We want to get started. Inside the case today, we have a whole lot of things we want to share with you. And as I said at the beginning, we're looking for really good behavior, because I'm looking for one person in all of these people who's going to help me a little bit today. And of course, I like to reward people who help me. I like to say a big thank you to them. And we've got a little reward in here for that person. So I'm looking for a really good, sensible person, a real good helper. Because today in the service, I want to start to think about summery things. Summertime. Now, maybe not so much today, but in the last few days, we've been getting little snippets of sunshine. And we're getting maybe a little bit of false sense of security. And we think it's all arrived. And then suddenly the gray clouds come. But I want this morning in church, in this service, to prepare for the summer. And the best way for me to prepare for the summer is a barbecue. That's the best way. And so I brought all of my barbecue stuff with me today, every last bit of it. And of course, there's one bit of the barbecue, boys and girls, that you really shouldn't be touching and you really shouldn't go near. Slip your hand up if you know what part you should never touch. Way at the back there, somebody put their hand up and then they changed their mind. That man there. That's right, the burny bit, the barbecue. Well, I brought my barbecue with me. Here it is in my little case. This is the best type of barbecue in the world. There's none of that old clinging palaver afterwards. You just scoop it all up and in the bin. And there's no worries and no fuss and no problems. I put the barbecue on there. And now I'm looking very carefully. And I've spotted a young man. And he's sitting really good. And I'm going to ask him to come and help me. And it's this young man sitting with a lovely waistcoat on here, and he's sitting beside an auntie, and she's just done that to him. What's one up to me see you? What's your name? Noah. Good man, Noah. Would you mind helping me? Brilliant. I'd have been really sad if you'd have said, no way. Well, come on up, Noah. And I'm going to get you to stand over here, because I have a special job. Face all these people. You were up before, weren't you? You and me is kind of famous, aren't we? We've been up a whole lot of times. Okay, so Noah and me, we're going to have this barbecue. Now, the reason why Noah's up here is the most important bit of a barbecue is to have a really good chef, isn't it? That's going to be you. And you see, whenever the barbecue stuff all comes out, and correct me if I'm wrong, all the daddies think they can cook. All the daddies, they're all in charge. Now, if it's an ordinary dinner in an ordinary house, in an ordinary oven, in an ordinary day, you'll not see them. They'll be sitting, waiting for their dinner. But barbecue, they're in charge. So I'm going to get you, Noah, to help me. You're going to be my top chef. Is that okay? Now, I should have interviewed you for this job, but we'll do a wee quickie anyway. Tell us, do you like food? Yeah. Well, that's a good start. So, brilliant. And do you help out a little bit at home? Well, we're doing so well, but not to worry. Well, we're going to teach you today. And whenever you go home, you can be able to help all over the place. So one thing that a chef needs, now all these other kids are going to be so jealous here today of you, Noah, because this is something really special, and it took me a lot of effort to get this. You just can't go and get this anywhere. And I had to make a lot of phone calls and a lot of inquiries, because what I have brought today for Noah is a proper, real 100%. You know the big chef's hats? I've got one of those. Yes, because you need to have the chef's hat to be a proper chef. Look at that. Okay, so pop that on. Oh, look at that. I'm reckoning your nice hairstyle. That fits perfect. Here, he looks the part now, doesn't he? So, I was going to make you wear this, but you're far too big. I don't think that would even get over your head. But the thing is, We don't want you getting all messed up with that nice waistcoat, so you make sure you don't sort of splash everywhere. So put that there, not make you wear that. But I'll tell you what we have got. You see, Noah's now training to be a chef, and one thing a chef can't do, he can't cook any food like this. Isn't that right? But really, really hard, wouldn't it? So you have to move your arms to a different place. No, okay. Don't know it over the fire, not over the fire. Okay, I've got for you some very special cooking implements. We have got our, ever seen these before? Okay, this is the sausage picker-upper and the burger flipper-over, okay? So I'm going to give these to you, Noah, and you're in charge, okay? And what we're going to do, we're going to cook some lovely food. I'm going to have a lovely barbecue. And sausage, anybody like sausages? Wow, look at, oh, we'll need lots of sausages. One, two, three, we've got four anyway, so we're going to have to cut them up very small. Right, we'll get the sausages on here for you, Noah. Now, Noah, the thing about the barbecue is, and the chef, you have to keep an eye on the sausages. It's a dog toy. You can't pull the wool over these kids, what? Okay, so just keep moving them out, just a little bit of a poke here and there. Just a wee tiny bit, yeah, just a wee tiny, and with the other thing as well. Yes, that's it. Not too much now because we don't want them on the floor. Because if they fall on the floor, we have to give them to Mr. Abernathy, okay? So, anybody a wee bit of steak? Up there, maybe? A bit of steak. How's that? Well done. Okay, put the steak on there. Anybody for a bit of chicken? Oh, not dead yet. There's the chicken. Put the chicken on. Lovely. Now, keep just tapping that about because how long the sausage is going to be? About 10 minutes? Less? 5 minutes? Okay, we better hurry up. So, we're getting there. So, we've got the chef, we've got the hat, we've got the barbecue, we've got all the lovely food. And, of course, if we've got visitors coming, we need to have somewhere for them to sit. So, we'll put our little table up. There we go. How's that? Okay. And, of course, they need to have something to drink. A little plate as well. Something, you can't have them just standing and you know. Okay, and maybe a little napkin, Noah, for that. There. Yes, okay. So, and then we get all our friends around, and they eat everything, and have a wonderful evening. And that's us for our barbecue. Now, I have to thank you. Getting tired, Noah? Smell them sausages. They're really lovely. Okay. What's that? The smell squeakier. Okay. Why did I bring him up for? He's a nightmare. Okay. Well, Noah, we're going to give Noah a big round of applause in a minute, and he's going to swap over, give me all those things back, and I'm going to have to, remember I said I'd pay you? Ta-da, that's your wage packet, okay, so there we go, so you give me that, and I'll take those, and everybody will start clapping whenever you go back to your seat, here we go, everybody give him a big round of applause, that was great, thank you very much, Noah. Okay, now, thing about the barbecue is you have to tidy everything up, and Noah, he's away off. Chefs are like that. Chefs never help anybody. They all go and sit down. They've done their bit. But Noah did a super job, and we've had our barbecue, and we're putting everything away. But here's the question. We've had all this fun, and the big question is this. When you have a barbecue, do you put on the red sauce? Or do you put on the brown sauce? That's the big thing, isn't it? And so just for a minute or two, don't be talking to anybody. Don't be telling anybody. Just a little show of hands. Slip up your hand if you like the red sauce the best. Quite a few. Nobody over here? No, nobody? Oh, one over there, okay. I thought you were all sleeping over there, okay. What about the brown sauce? Slip your hand. I see the brown sauce. Wow. Now keep your hand up if you like the brown sauce because we are the tough guys. That brown sauce is a little bit burny. You need to be tough to, not right? Hands all down. I've noticed a few people didn't put their hand up for anything, and neither they don't like any sauce, or there are a lot of posh people in, and they like all that fancy sauce, or the sweet chili stuff, and all the rest of it, Thousand Island dressings. But just in closing today, with the time we have left, and boys and girls, if you're sitting up, I want you to look at some very important things I want to show you. Because in the closing moments of the meeting today, I want to speak about brown sauce, okay? Now, hopefully nobody's ever preached in brown sauce before in the church, so we'll maybe get away with it. And the reason why I want to speak about this brown sauce is it's very important. I'm going to put it there for you to see. Because, boys and girls, this sauce has been on the go for over 100 years. And it was started by a little greengrocer, and his name was Frederick Gibson Grattan, and he came from England. And he had a little greengrocer shop, and no doubt he wanted to boost his profits, do better in business, and so he invented this lovely brown sauce from all the stuff he had in the shop. He didn't sell to anybody. And what happened was this. He couldn't think of a good name for this sauce. And then he heard something. Are you sitting up? He heard something. He heard that down in London, at the Houses of Parliament, somebody had been using his sauce in one of the fancy restaurants. And if you go home today, have your little hook in the cupboard, pull out the brown sauce. If it's HP sauce, you will see on the front there's a picture of the Houses of Parliament and Big Ben. Because this sauce is named after the Houses of Parliament, HP sauce. And so we're going to get to the crux of the message. Because just for a few minutes, all I want to speak about today are the two letters on the front of the HP sauce. And as we look at these two letters today, I trust that you will listen well, because I want you to learn more about God, learn more about the Bible from these two letters, and your need of the Savior. Now, every time we look at the letter H, it'll all be to do with things that are His, things that are God's, things that are about Him. So every time we look at the letter H, it's all to do with His. Okay, so let's put that down, and let's get to the first word, because all the other words, of course, will begin with the letter. Everybody way home? The letter. Brilliant. Okay, so let's get going. The first one, I think you're all half sleeping here. His. We will. Okay, last chance. His. That's much better. I was going to have to keep you here to 1 o'clock and detention for not speaking up now, nice and loud. Okay, we want to speak about His people. That's the first word we want to look at. This is the first thing about God that we want to share with you, because when you read your Bible in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, there's a lovely little verse there. Mary had given birth to her firstborn child, and it says there, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's wonderful news. Already today, at the beginning, the Lord Jesus has come into this world to save his people from their sins. And the wonderful thing about that is, these people are not described in any other way apart from one way. We're not told that they're rich people. We're not told that they're smart people. We're not told that they're good-looking people. We're really told that they're people who have sinned, because they're going to be saved from their sins. And that's good news for you and me, for we, every one of us, have sinned against God. And we too can be part of His people, because He has come to save His people from their sin. And you know, the wonderful thing about this little verse is this. As much as there are people that will be saved from their sins, there will be people who will be lost in their sins. Never be in heaven. Be lost for all eternity. The Bible tells us of an awful place called hell. And I would like to ask the question today. What group are you in? Are you part of His people? Do you know Him as your Savior? Like the young lady before, can you get up and testify of how the Lord saved you, even at an early age? But then, how can you be sure that you're saved? How can you be sure that you're one of His people? Well, let's look at the next word. The next word is this here. We can be sure that we're saved because of His power. Very good. His power. Now, the Lord demonstrates His power in many, many ways. Demonstrates His power in the beauty of creation. He demonstrates His power in the upkeeping and the holding of all things. He demonstrates his power in a thing boys and girls call providence. That's the day-to-day routine of life. And it's not just a scattering of events. It's all purpose, all planned, because God has his hand upon it. But the most wonderful way that God demonstrates his power in his ability to save us from our sins and to make of us his people. And we're told how that is done. We're told the source of this great power, this changing power, this cleansing power. And it's only found in the precious shed blood of the Savior who died on Calvary. You know, there's a little hymn that we often sing, and it goes like this. There's power, power, wonder-working power, sin-destroying power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I wonder, do you know anything of that power? Are you saved today? You know, sadly, there's so many, and they think that they can get to heaven under their own power, their own way. But they'll never get to heaven. They'll feel miserably if they try to do that. But then there's something else. This power reminds me of his pain. Oh, we spoke a moment or two about the shed blood of the Savior, how he died on Calvary for each one of us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Oh, but what agonies and what pain and what suffering our Savior went through so that we would go free, so we would escape all punishment that we most readily deserve. But then moving on very quickly, he suffered so much pain because of his passion. That, boys and girls, simply means love. And for all you husbands as well, means love, okay? Oh, what love the Savior has for us. We who are so unlovable in our behavior, and yet God loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Why was that the case? God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you availed of that today? Anything up the love of God? Have you thanked him for dying for you? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Oh, I hope that you have. But then moving quickly on, we could do this all day. I have loads of these here, so I have, but I'll just do two more and then we'll leave it with that. And I'm sure you can think of many others at the door, and we'll write them down for the next time when we come back, okay? But let's look at the next one. His. Now, this is a remarkable word, because this is a word. It's one of those words in our English language that can be used for lots of different things, boys and girls. Let's put that down for a second. This word pardon is very, very important. You see, you can come along. Sometimes Noah and me are having barbecues. Isn't that right, Noah? Whenever we're having barbecues, everybody wants to come because they love Noah's sausages. Top sausages, only take 5 minutes to cook. Really nice. And smell them beautiful. And everybody wants one of Noah's sausages, and then they want another, and then they want another, and then they want a big drink, and all of a sudden it's all building up in here, and next thing, whew, a little burp comes out. And you're supposed to say, isn't that right? But that's not the pardon that we're talking about here. Sometimes you boys and girls, you love to go and visit your granny and grandas. Who likes to go and visit their granny and grandas? Okay, a whole lot. That is super. I used to love going to my granny and grandas because granny and grandas are different than mummies and daddies. Mummies and daddies make all the rules. Granny and grandas, they break all the rules. Mummy and daddy says, no TV. Granny and granda says, here's the remote. Mummy and daddy say, no food before dinner. Granny and granda, piles of buns and sweets. Isn't that right? I like grannies. But there's a wee thing about grannies and grandas. Boys and girls, you mark me if I'm wrong. Listen up now to you here. Sometimes you go and visit your granny and granda, and they're all very nice to you, and give you the best seat, and give you the buns, and give you all the everything else. But sometimes when you're talking to granny and granda, because they're a wee bit old, I can't hear you. And they're always saying, pardon? That's right. Okay, they're always saying pardon. But that's not the pardon that I want to speak about here. Boys and girls, when we get to God's pardon, his pardon is completely different. Here's the meaning of his pardon. It is to be totally forgiven and granted from release from all the punishment that you deserve. Wow. That's some gift, isn't it? But it's an offer, free for those who come. Oh, that you would accept of his pardon. We'll just finish with this last one. Here it is here. One you might not be thinking about. His. Now, all today, we have been singing hymns. We have been, the choir has been up, and we've been praising God. But those of you who are saved, have you ever thought of the fact that someday we're going to receive praise from God? That's a mighty thought. We who are only old sinners who need the Lord, he's going to praise us one day. What a thought. The great creator of all things. And I wonder, will you be among the number that will receive praise from God? Whenever I read my Bible, I read off God's praise. Lovely little verse there. It says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in." But you know, for those who are outside of Christ, the words will be, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you've sat in this meeting today, and you've been reminded again about your need of the Savior. You've been told the way of salvation, simply coming by faith, trusting in him, accepting what he has done for you on the cross. And on that day, if you're told to depart from me, you needn't look to the right or to the left or to somebody else to blame. You'll stand alone before God in judgment for what you have done wrong, for how you have rejected him. The wonderful man of Calvary who loves you and gave himself for you. Today we are nothings and nobodies. But listen, if we can be of any help to you with regards to the matter of salvation, if we can be of any aid to you to point you to the Savior, do speak to us, and do come, and don't put him off.